We want you to just keep coming back. I hope we're blowing your mind tonight if you're a guest. Thank you very much. I'd like to say it's good to be here. Would also like to say how much fun it is to have a city boy from San Jose and Sacramento and Oakland. He's staying up in the country with me this week, getting a little mud between his toes. So we're glad to have him in Alabama tonight. So I give honor to your pastor, and I give honor to this church. You run a great risk of letting anyone else come to your pulpit, especially like me. I know who fills this pulpit most of the time. It's Brother Sutton. You can't get better than Brother Sutton. And Brother Sutton can be one of two things to you. He can be either your preacher or he can be your pastor. And there's a lot of preachers in the world. And there's a lot of people that listen to preaching from preachers. But there's not many people and not many churches that get the revelation of being pastored. Yeah. Sometimes you have to wrestle down a gnarly old ugly spirit to be pastored. Hallelujah. And that's not what I'm preaching. I just felt like I needed to say that tonight. Let the man pastor you. Let his word be the final word. Don't let his word be spoken and you walk off and go to the kitchen table and say, yeah, but I don't know if he understands everything I'm going. Hey, he doesn't have to understand everything you're going through. If you line up to what he says, God knows what you're going through and God's going to bless you. All right. Let me get to what I'm actually going to preach tonight. I love everybody here. Does everyone feel loved? Okay, good. I don't have to go through the name calling and all that. Good to be here with Brother Dawson, who fed me well. So if I fall asleep up here tonight, you know, you blame it on Bongiorno's. Blame it on the Magnolias. They did it. So wonderful, wonderful as always. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 21 and Psalm 8. Matthew chapter 21 and Psalm 8. Hallelujah. It is always so much fun to come here and preach because I feel like this church holds a key to revival, not just in the city of Birmingham, but you have the capability of blowing revival wide open throughout the whole state. And yes, even throughout, in my opinion, throughout the whole southeastern region of the United States. And I think you have that responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. So I think you have that responsibility. If you have that capability, I believe God puts that responsibility on you. And I think you're doing a great job. And so it's always a lot of fun to come and preach here. Does everybody have Matthew chapter 21? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 21, verse 6. Jesus has commanded his disciples. Hold on just a second. Got to use two hands or get a little chubby. Matthew chapter 21, verse 6. Jesus has commanded his disciples to go and find a young donkey, a colt that has never been ridden. And that's where we're going to pick up. Matthew 21, verse 6. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them and brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes. And they set him, talking about Jesus, set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David. That's prophetic language there. Hosanna, the son of David. In other words, there's a crowd that understood that they were witnessing the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, that the Messiah was going to be the seed of David. So they're speaking in Old Testament terms there, okay? And Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. And Jesus went in to the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Other gospels will go into a little more detail in that story. Talk about him making a scourge and driving them out with the scourge. Verse 13, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And then after he'd kicked everybody out that was doing what you weren't supposed to be doing in the house of God, after he got rid of the riffraff, after he got rid of all the mindsets, after he got rid of all the attitudes, after he got rid of all the people that came in with a chip on the shoulder, after he got rid of the people that came in just to make a living off the house of God, this is what happened in verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. I want an atmosphere where the blind and the lame can come into the temple and God can heal them. Hallelujah. Verse 15. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read? He's speaking to these people that are supposed to have read. Have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Psalm 8 and 1. You don't have to turn if you're not there. Psalm 8 and 1. I'll just read it to you. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. And then we come to the passage that Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, have you never read? And then he quoted this passage. And it says it a little bit different. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. I would like to preach to you for just a little bit tonight. Hopefully not for very long. From this title, Perfected Praise. Perfected Praise. And I want the Holy Ghost to touch you. I want the Holy Ghost to touch me tonight. I want the Word of God to land on good soil in your life. So why don't you lay your Bible down? If you got anything in the way and you haven't shouted it out tonight and you haven't worshiped it out, why don't you take just a minute? God, we need you to touch us tonight. God, we need your Spirit to flow through us tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, let's let it erupt with praise for a minute. Hallelujah. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and smile at him real big. Tell him it's good to see him in the house of God tonight. And you can be seated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is good to give praise to the Lord on a midweek Wednesday night service. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter today if the economy has you in a little bit of a tizzy. It doesn't matter if your 401k is looking like a 201k. It doesn't matter if your job that kept you in money and in good provision for the last 20 years is breaking down and disintegrating before your eyes and under your hand. It is good to be in the house of God giving him praise and worship. It's one of those things that you just have to get through our thick human skull sometime. It doesn't matter about the circumstance that I'm in on this earth. It doesn't matter what I'm facing today. It doesn't matter what I'm facing tomorrow. I am here for the pleasure of the King of Kings. I am here to give him praise. My life wasn't created so I could be comfortable. My life was created to give him worship. My life was created to give him glory. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. It's time to give God praise. It's time to give him glory. So if you're in a fight with the devil tonight, if the demons of hell are running rampant through your house, if your teenager's flipped its lid, if your husband's running around on you, if your boss is giving you the bad place, you're in the right place tonight because God is here to meet your need, and the way you get in the presence of God is praise and worship him. So I've come to encourage you tonight. Scripture admonishes us to be encouragers. I have come to encourage you tonight. If you have ever received a promise from the Lord, If a man of God has ever spoken to you, if a brother or sister in the Lord has ever given you a word from the Lord, put it in your pocket. Take it to the bank. Every promise that God has ever given to you, every prophecy that has come across this desk to this church will come to pass. It shall not fail. Every word, let me say it till you understand what I'm saying. Every word, every promise, every prophecy, every promise of revival, every promise of your family coming in, every promise of ministry in your life, every promise of anointing that was going to rain down on you, it shall come to pass. It shall not fail. And there's no devil in hell that can stop it. There's no demon in hell that can stop it. There's no political force that can stop it. Nothing, nothing, nothing shall stop the promise of God. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I hope He gives you a promise tonight. I hope He gets a hold of you and you leave a blubbering drunk in the Holy Ghost, totally inebriated and out of your mind and out of your wits. Because when you get out of your wits, you're operating with God's wits, and He's better than all of us put together. Yeah. The work that we could do in 10 years, God can do in 1 second, and it ends up being 1,000 times better than you and I could ever do it. So it's good to be in His presence tonight. It's good to be worshiping Him tonight. All my needs are met in His presence. Let's love Him. Let's love Him with a loud voice all over the house. Hallelujah. That's what I love about... Started to say Tuesday. We have midweek on Tuesday. That's what I love about Wednesday service. The devil has no idea what's about to happen when we get together. He thinks we came together to be sedate, to be cool, to just go through the motions. I don't think you guys ever go through the motions, though, do you? I'm not preaching to anybody when I say that. But you know what? I know that there's somebody that came in here tonight that the devil thought he had you. The devil thought he had your hands bound. The devil thought he had you cuffed around the ankles. But when you got in the presence of God, he had no idea how you were going to break loose. He had no idea how the fire of the Holy Ghost was going to begin to burn. So I've come to encourage somebody tonight. You're going to make it. You are not defeated. Hallelujah. You are not defeated. I don't know why I'm saying that right now. Maybe somebody came in feeling a little. You are not defeated. You are not down. You're not going to stay down. You're not going under. You're not knocked down. You are going to be victorious. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be the lender and not the borrower. Hallelujah. You're going to be the head and not the... You're going to be before and not behind. Yeah, the blessing of God is going to rain on you. Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Have you looked around? Have you seen what's happening in the United States economy? It doesn't matter what's going to happen in the United States economy. Jesus Christ, His Word said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen His seed begging bread. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Woo! And that's why we come and give Him praise. You guys are going to wear me out before I even get to my point. My first one. That's why we come to the house of God to give Him praise. Sit down if you want to. If you don't, stay standing. It doesn't matter to me. I'll be standing up the whole time anyway. I'm preaching about perfected praise. There was a pastor. If I called his name, everybody would know it. No big deal. I'm not trying to hide his name. I'm just not calling it. And he had a young evangelist in. And before church, they were in the office. And they were praying together. You know, they exchanged the pleasantries. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You know. And then they begin to pray together. And the young preacher that was preaching that night, or at that service, made his way over to a chair on another part of the room and began to pray. The pastor said, I overheard him praying, and he began to pray like this: God, You are so great. God, You are so big. God, You are enormous. God, You are gigantic. God, you are bigger than any sickness that's going to be in this place tonight. God, you are more enormous than any calamity that comes through the house doors tonight. God, if we put all the problems together in one big pile, you would still be far greater than all of our problems put together. God, you are so big, my mind cannot wrap itself around your size. It's one thing to come to the house of God just out of habit, but it's another thing to come to the house of God with the understanding of how great, how gigantic, how big, how enormous, how far-reaching your God is. So if you're here tonight and you've got a difficulty that you're dealing with, can I see your hand? Is anybody facing anything? Good. It makes me feel better to know that I'm not the only goofball in here that's facing anything. So I'm here tonight. If nobody else, if I'm not preaching to anybody else, if the rest of the church cannot often go to sleep, I'm preaching to those of you that are facing something. God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than your problem. God is by far more enormous than your difficulty. Yeah. I wish somebody believed that tonight. I don't think we can come to the house of God. I don't think we can afford coming to the house of God anymore and just going through our little. That's right. Preacher. Yeah. No. There has to be something in our spirit that says, yes, I'm buying into what you're preaching. Preacher, yes, my spirit is linking up with that. Everybody say, God is big. Everybody say, God is enormous. Everybody say, that doesn't scratch the surface. Hallelujah. You can be seated. The psalmist said it this way. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify. Make him bigger. Magnify him. Make him bigger. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Make him bigger. Part of the human problem. Part of the thing that we come to church with most of the time. You've heard this. I'm not tricking you. I'm not sneaking up on you with nothing. But part of the problem of being a human being is our problems get so big. Our problems loom. Like scary, drippy fang monsters that are hairy and have bad breath. And they walk around with giant theme music. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of you, Pentecostal scum. Or whatever. And our problem looms. And we come to church. Hear me. Because some of you did this tonight. We come to church with our problem. This is our problem. And it's right here. And that's all we can see. Yeah. And we've got out in the aisles and danced so much, that's just part of our habit. And we dance and our problem stays right there the whole time. But when you come to church, brother, when you come to church, sister, the answer is take your problem, fold it up, and stick it in your pocket. And don't make your problem big, make your God big. Magnify the Lord with me. When you come to the house of God, don't let your problem loom in the presence of God. You make God bigger than your problem. And your problem's not that special anyway. Don't treat your problem like it's special. If you don't believe your problem's not special, wait till this one's over. You'll get a new one. And it'll be just as special as this one is. And we always fail to realize, God brought me through that one, he'll bring me through this one. He brought me through two problems ago, and he'll bring me through the next problem. He brought me through a problem 10 years ago. He healed my body 5 years ago. He set me free from cancer. He set me free from nicotine. He got me off crack cocaine. He set me free from alcohol. And God will bring me through this problem. There's no devil in hell that can keep me in this problem. God's going to bring me through this problem. Let's clap our hand. Let's let it erupt with praise in here for just a minute. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. So you need to magnify the Lord tonight. You need to magnify the Lord tonight. I'm preaching about perfected praise. Perfected praise. And the way you magnify him is what we just got done doing. And it's what we did in worship service tonight. And it's what we did when we brought our tithe and our offering. We were worshiping. If you weren't worshiping while you're doing that, you did it wrong. All you did was put some money in a little basket. But if you did it as worship unto God, God saw it and said, I can't wait till that truckload blessing just comes running over there. I can't. Yeah. That's why Malachi said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse and try me. That's the one area where you can try God. Yeah. Where you can walk up, roll your sleeves up, and say, God, here we go. What do you got? You know, see what you got. And God says, you try me. You put me to the test. I don't recommend this in any other area. I don't recommend you put God to the test in any other area. But the one area where you can put God to the test, Malachi says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. Try me now. Bring me all the tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not pour out on you a blessing. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing that you cannot contain. That you cannot contain. That you cannot contain. Yeah, that you cannot contain. That's beyond your ability to wrap it up. All right, that's not what I'm preaching. But if you didn't do that as worship tonight, you might as well have been making a donation to the blood drive. Now we'll take it. Even though we're loaded, according to Brother. Must be nice. You can be seated. Scripture says, I'm preaching about perfected praise. Scripture says that praise is comely for the upright. Comely. Beautiful. Lovely. Pleasant to behold. Praise is comely for the upright. In other words, God gets beauty out of the praise of the upright. Scripture says that the trees clap their hands. The birds and the animals, they all praise God because they're doing specifically what they were created to do. But God doesn't get any beauty out of it. God only gets beauty out of praise from the upright. Glory. Yeah. God only gets beauty out of praise from those that he's picked up out of the muck and the mire that life had them bound up in. And he stood them up on their feet and he washed them and poured his spirit into their wounds and made them whole. God only gets beauty from the praise of the upright. Yeah. So if you're not upright, you can still praise him. It's just not beautiful. Yeah. You can praise him. It's just not beautiful. That's why scripture says upright. It's those that have shed. That have turned loose of the world. They're not holding on to one little part of it here. And saying, okay, God, can I still praise you and hold on to this little part of it? This is not what I'm preaching. But I'm just, this is good. I'm still preaching out of the Bible here. You can nod at me a little bit. You're not holding on to one little part of it here. God, I'm still praising you. I'm still worshiping. No. Praise is comely for the upright. It's those that have shook off all of that. It's those that have repented and walked out of all of that. Yeah. That's why scripture says, lift up what? Holy hands without wrath or doubting. He said that it's the prayer of who? The righteous availeth much. Okay, he's talking about it's praise that is comely from the upright. It's worship that is given with holy hands. Yeah, it's prayer of the righteous that availeth much. Come on, upright saints of God at New Life in Birmingham, Alabama. It's time for Birmingham to see. It's time for Birmingham to see a display of beautiful praise and worship that makes God stop and say, I like that. I like that. I wonder if we can worship him all over the house tonight. I love you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Let's praise him. Let's lift up our voice. Hallelujah. There are some that are in this house today. The upright. Let me stop. I got to ask myself. The upright. Who are the upright? It's those that have learned
to magnify God. I don't have time to go into all that. I'm already out of breath. It's those that have learned to magnify God. God is bigger. God's out here. The world out here. God is bigger than all of that. God is more gigantic than all that. I magnify him and I diminish that. Yeah. And even me, I don't even magnify me. That's what John the Baptist said. I must what? Decrease. So what, for what reason? So that he could. Yeah. When I decrease, I magnify him. That's why if people walk into this church that have never been here before, don't worry. They think you're crazy. In case you were wondering, boy, I wonder if they think we're weird. They do. They do. And we are. If you don't believe me, look at your neighbor. We're a little crazy. Nobody runs unless somebody's chasing them. And nobody shouts and gets out in the aisle and buck dances. That's what they call it up in the country, buck dancing. You know, that's whatever you guys call it. And some of you are much better at it than I am. Okay? Nobody does that. Yeah, we're a little bit crazy. But last time I checked, and I've never been, I've only heard. Last time I checked, they do that at a football game because somebody that's never going to bless them at all ran a pigskin 100 yards and crossed a goal line and scored a touchdown, and they got up and said, yeah! And they got a little bit tipsy for no other reason than the fact that it was Friday night and the weekend's just getting started. So we're all a little bit crazy. The whole world's nuts. But we just happen to be crazy about a man that died for our sins. And we've learned to magnify him. We've learned we're upright. We've learned to magnify him above all. We've learned to magnify him above all. Why don't we do that right now? If you can magnify him, let's magnify him. Yay! God, we magnify you. Let our praise magnify you. Woo! Yeah. Somebody just go crazy with it for a minute. Somebody get lost in it for a minute. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. There are some in this house tonight. There are some in this house tonight that you used to be the wildest of the wild. The party couldn't get wild enough for you. You couldn't get drunk enough. You couldn't get high enough. Some of you were mean and couldn't get in enough fights. Yeah. It couldn't get rowdy enough for you. There was no limit that you weren't willing to cross. But since God's filled you with the Holy Ghost. Hear me. When you lived in the world, sin loomed. Sin was huge. But when you got the gift of the Holy Ghost, sin became a diminutive little thing that you could squash in the Spirit. So don't make the mistake of when you come to the house of God of not magnifying him. You used to be wild and crazy for the devil. You need to be wild and crazy for Jesus Christ. Yeah, I remember the pit from which I was digged. I remember the trap
that Satan had me in. I remember the ball and chain. I remember the body of this death that was rotten and taking me to hell with it. But I remember the night that Jesus set me free. So while there's breath in my body, I'm going to use it to praise God. God break in on us tonight. God break in on us tonight. Even tonight, God, don't let us just go through some motion. God, don't let us just get trapped in just having regular church. I'm not interested in just having regular church. God, I want to magnify you to the place that when I walk out, when the saints of New Life Tabernacle, when they walk out into the world tomorrow, I pray over them right now that when they walk out, that the power of God radiates off of them. That when they walk down the street, they walk through the halls of their job, they walk down the halls of their school, that the Holy Ghost is so powerful on them that devils have to flee. Yeah. I remember one time. Maybe I told this story here. If I have, just smile and say, yeah, he's told this one here. But he's making a point with it. Me and my cousin, Christy, we used to work at a grocery store together. And I was stocking groceries. And she was ringing up people's stuff as they came through the front line. And she was up there singing church songs. Well, she beep, 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 beep. $3,000. Okay, whatever. We made a lot of money there. I'm just kidding. But she was up there singing. Wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. For his love, it surrounds me like a sea. And she was up there praising. Do, do, do. And there's this lady came pushing her buggy up. And she said, you know, this little Pentecostal girl, you know, got her hair wadded up the way you're supposed to have it on the top of your head. And, you know, Pentecostal's way to do it. Skirt was real long, you know, looked holy, looked clean. And she just singing and praising God. And this lady walked up to her and said, pardon me, where do you go to church? You know, chirpy little Pentecostal. Well, I go to the Pentecostal church right down. And she said, would you mind, you and your church, would you mind praying for me? She said, well, what's wrong? She said, one of my eyes, I'm losing the sight in one of my eyes. She was blind in one eye, and she never received the gift of Holy Ghost. She said, you know, just a little Pentecostal girl. Well, I can pray for you right now.
Hallelujah.
She said, okay. I don't know if that's what she said. And they prayed for her. And nothing happened there. But she came to church on Sunday morning, the following weekend. And during the altar call, we brought her up to the front and we laid hands on her. And we began to pray for her in Jesus' name. And I am telling you, God restored sight in that woman's eye. And God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. How does that kind of stuff get started? How does that kind of stuff get finished? I don't know how God finishes it, but I know how it got started. It never would have happened had it not been for a little Pentecostal girl that said, even while I'm sitting here ringing up people's groceries, I'm going to be magnifying the King of Kings. I'm going to be making God bigger than the problems that even people around me have, because God's bigger than anything. God's bigger than this whole world. God's bigger than the problems of this whole universe. Yeah, yeah. Somebody needs to learn to magnify God. With all my heart, I magnify you. And God's going to open doors. God's going to give you anointed utterance. And when God's magnified, it's like Jesus came into the temple, and where the money changers and those that sold doves and livestock for sacrifice, the merchandisers, when you begin to magnify God, it's like Jesus walks into the temple, poof, and kicks over the tables, whap, and smacks the devil with a cord that he's woven himself, and begins to run out the corruption, and begins to run out the sin. And everywhere you go becomes the temple of God. And when God is magnified in your life, and all of those spirits have to get out of your way, then, as the scripture says, the halt and the lame and the blind and the diseased, and I'm not talking about those that just come with a broken limb or a bad heart or a back problem. I'm talking about those that are blind in the spirit and those that are diseased in their heart and those that are halt in their lifestyle that can't get ahead in any area of their life. They come to you and all of a sudden they're put on a road where the Holy Ghost empowers them and they're no longer subject to those things that had them bound. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. You need to learn to live in the power of the Holy Ghost, and the way you live in the power of the Holy Ghost is you magnify God with everything that you have. Let's clap our hands. Let's love the Lord. We just prayed a man through to the Holy Ghost in the hospital. Congestive heart failure. He's in his late 80s, mid to late 80s. Lived a good long life. Never. Wife has been faithful. Faithful like clockwork to the church. As long as health in her body allowed her to get to the house of God. And even most of the time when it didn't, she'd come walking in with her little walker. You know, the little tennis balls on the bottom of it. And just making her way to church the way she could. Any way she could. And she'd sit there. She couldn't get up and run the aisles. She's just to that point of life where disease has ravaged her body. And any malady that wants to come along and attach itself to her, her body's just broken down to that point. It's just that time of life. And she's been faithful. She's been faithful. A praying woman. Husband never came to church. Never darkened the doors. Never. But he began to seek after God. It's funny how when natural causes begin to decrease this body. Okay. I see now that there's something bigger than I am. Yeah, okay. And he's laying in this hospital bed. And we've come up and we pray with him. Oh, and he grabbed my hand. Preacher, you got to pray with me. And we pray. Preacher, can you sing me a song? Amazing Grace. And we're singing to this elderly gentleman in the hospital. And they begin to talk to him before we even get back for the next visit. They begin to talk to him and say, Mr. McGriff, you want to be baptized in Jesus' name? Yeah, I've never been baptized. In his 80s, has known about this for a long, long time. Mother has been in church for a long, long time. Daughters and sons have been, and grandchildren have been in a church for a long, long time. He knows what's right, and he says, you know, I've never been baptized. And we come up to that hospital about 10:30 one Tuesday evening after church, and we put him, or excuse me, not after church, we come up to the hospital about 10:30 one evening, and we put him in a big old therapy tub. And this man that has never darkened the doors of a church, we bury him in the lovely name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. Two days later, his strength is kind of fading and waning. And every now and then he'll have a good, strong 2 or 3 hours. And they begin to talk to him. Mr. McGriff, you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they begin to show it to him in Scripture. You need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Evidenced by speaking in other tongues. Because that's the only way they ever got it in the book of Acts. And that's the only way you can ever claim salvation. Is if you get it the way they got it when the church first was born. Yeah, and you have to get it the way the man that has the keys to the kingdom, the Apostle Peter, you have to get it the way he preached it. And he said you have to repent of your sins and you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus because there's salvation in no other name. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so they begin to pray with this elderly man. And he was there and I walked in 2 hours later. And we just began to do a little simple prayer again. And he lifted his hands and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave him utterance. I'm not talking about somebody that learned to come to the house of God and knew how to go through all the little gyrations and learn how to raise his hand and say hallelujah just the way you're supposed to say it. He never learned how to do any of it, but there was a point in his life. Yeah, it was a long time into his life, but there was a point when he learned to magnify God over any hurt, over any offense that he had, because that's why he wasn't coming to church. He was offended, but he learned to magnify God, make God bigger than any of that stuff, make God bigger than my own ideas. And God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I serve the devil notice in this church. There's going to be revival, untold, unimaginable revival.
Hold on. I'm not saying that for you to just clap your hand. I'm not saying that for you to get up and run the aisles. I am saying this for this one reason. God wants to use you to do it. Hold on. God wants to use you to do it. Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Doesn't that sound backwards? Don't we want it the other way? You used to hear people get up before they sang, before they testified, before they preached. Don't listen to me tonight. Well, who else are we going to listen to? Listen to the word, or don't listen to the word, listen to the spirit. Well, we got to listen to you. That sounds backwards. We don't want it to say, I can do all things through Christ. We want it to say, Christ can do all things through me. We want to be like puppets. And God says, move your foot here. Robots, you know. But it's not that way. It's, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's not Christ pushes the button and picks up the remote control, and I do all things as Christ dictates me to do them. No, it's, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's not, I can't help it. It's not, I don't know what came over me. I just jumped the crowd and palmed this guy on top of the head. Poof. It's like new Christian icons. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. In other words, if I want to reap a harvest over here, I have the ability to reap a harvest over here. I need to sink a plow. Yeah, if I want to win souls over here, I can go over here and sow seed. And it's Christ in me that begins. It's Christ in me that empowers me. And whatever territory I want to take. I can walk in and say, my dad owns this place. And he said, I can have anything I want. That's what he said. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Whew. All right, enough of that. Let's love the Lord one more time. I had to get back to my notes. All right, let me get to the point. You can be seated if you're tired. And Jesus saith, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Normally on Sunday mornings, especially if I have to preach, I'm the first one up. In fact, I'm the first one up every morning. But normally, my son sleeps about 8 or 9 o'clock. He's not quite 2. Sunday morning's not so. Because I've got stuff to do. It's like he's got to get up early to help me get ready for Sunday morning, especially if I got to preach. And so I'm normally the one to go and make a bottle for him on Sunday morning. And when I hear him crying, I get up and I go in there and pick him up. My wife's name, most of you have met her, is Vondelay. And my son has kind of made his own compound word of Mama and Vondelay. She is now Mama Lay. That's what he calls her constantly, Mama Lay. And I walk in, and you know, you change his diaper and throw it away. And the first thing he says when I walk in, I'm preaching out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. First thing he says when I walk in, I got that bottle and I'll set it down on his little changing table there, and he'll look at me and he'll say, mook milk, mook want MOOC. I'll say, okay, here's your MOOC. And I give it to him. And then he'll say, I want Mama Lay. MOOC and Mama Lay. So I take him into our bedroom, and my wife, who is still asleep, it's like robotic. It's like what I was preaching a while ago. The covers, one arm, the covers go, and I slide the kid under the covers, and they go, right back to sleep, you know. Mook and Mama Lay. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. There's probably 1,000 different ways to preach this. Tonight, because I'm preaching, this is the way we're preaching it. Okay? When I come to the house of God, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Scripture says, unless you come as little children. That's our approach. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mook and Mamala. And God says, God has to thump me on top of the head. You guys have just had Cody Marks here. I'm glad he's gone. That way I can come back and preach. No offense. I'm just... Confession's good for the soul, you know. And but God talks to Cody in all kinds of weird ways. Wakes him up in the middle of the night with angels. I don't mind seeing an angel. I just want us all to be there together when I see him. I want every one of you there when I see him, you know. Man, there's an angel. Y'all go talk to him. Now, write it down. I'll preach it later. God can't talk to me. I mean, he can. He can. He can talk to me however he wants. Most of the time, he has to thump me. And so I'm carrying my son in there, Mook and Mama Lay. Hey, I'm talking to you right now. All right? That's what you're supposed to preach about. This was on a Sunday morning a couple weeks ago. That's what you're supposed to preach about. Lay him down in the bed. I walk out and sit in the rocking chair. I thought I was done. Thought I was ready to go. No, got to write some. So I'm sitting there. When I come to the house of God, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And it hit me. There's only a couple things that I want when I get to the house of God. Number one is what I just said. Get me to his house. And number two, get me into his presence. Just give me some Mook and Mama. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. When I come here, there's nothing that matters. Uh-uh. No, there's nothing that matters. I didn't bring my job to the house of God tonight. I didn't bring my awesome looking attire to the house of God tonight. I didn't take the time to comb my hair just right. Now, you ought to comb your hair and you ought to look nice when you come to the house of God. This is the King's house. But that's not really why I came. Because half the time when I leave church, my tie's all sideways. My hair is all messed up. I'm bloodshot in the eyes. My throat's a little bit sore. When I come to the house of God, nothing else matters but get me in his house. Get me in his presence. Get me in his anointing. Get me in the glory of God. Because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. So the first concept of perfected praise, and this is what I'm preaching about. The first concept of perfected praise is this. The psalmist, David, I believe it was David, when he wrote it first in Psalm 8. Psalm doesn't have chapters, but in Psalm 8, when he wrote it, this is the way. This is the first concept of perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. This is where it's different. This is where it sounds different. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. The word ordained kind of gives you the connotation of anointing. When there was ordination,
The Apostle Paul talked about Timothy. He said, I have laid my hand upon you that there would be a transfer of anointing from me to you. Ordained. It's like the pouring of oil. Is there oil up here? I thought I saw some while ago. Is it right here? Yeah. It's like the oil of the Holy Ghost. The oil that the prophet or the priest would pour over the king. Yeah, yeah. And that anointing would run down his head and into his beard and onto his garment. Ordained out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Thou hast ordained strength. Uh-huh. In other words, the first concept of perfected praise is anointed strength. You know what the word anointed comes from? Mashiach in Hebrew. Mashiach. It's from the same word that we will eventually get Messiah. Mashiach. Messiah. The anointed one. It's also the same word talking about when God talked about Lucifer, who was the anointed cherub that covered. There was an ordination on him at one point, but he fell from it. Okay? It's talking about an anointing. And the proper word, or one of the proper ideas behind anointing is it's not just like we do today. It's not just a dab. It's smear. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Let me say it this way. If you don't have any strength tonight, if you're a little weak tonight, you need to get smeared. Yeah. You don't need to get a little dab. This isn't Tabasco. You need to get smeared. Yeah. I came in here, preacher, tonight, and my bottom lip was dragging the ground, and my knuckles were dragging the ground, and I'm having trouble staying up off my knees. You need to get smeared. Because out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. I'm just so tired. I don't know if I can come to the house of God and really get into it tonight. No, you don't understand. You've got a misconception about praise and worship. It's when you learn to praise and worship that you're re-energized. It's when you learn to praise and worship that anointed strength comes out of it. It's when you learn to magnify God. That robust apostolic authority, anointed apostolic strength is in you. If you need some strength tonight, whether you're weak or not, if you need some strength tonight, I think we need to stand to our feet all over this house and begin to praise Him and begin to worship Him. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. All right. All right. I'm almost done. The musicians are coming. The second concept, and this is where we'll stop. The second concept is really just an outgrowth of the first. Perfected praise. It's really just an offshoot of the first concept. And that is, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Thou hast perfected praise. Without going into every detail, perfected praise is praise that is yielded praise. Yielded. I'm emphasizing that word. Praise that is from a yielded vessel. Yielded praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. My son, at this point in his life, will never look at me and say, Dad, I can get my own MOOC. And I can go to Mama Lay's bed by myself. He'll never do that. Not at this stage in his life. It's yielded. It's, I can't get the MOOC. And I can't get where I need to go. And I'm too tired. And it's too early in the morning for me to even try. And you got me in this cage called a crib. And I can't do anything without you. I can't do anything without you. And so I pick him up. And God picks me up. He says, okay. And my praise that causes him to pick me up is when I walk in to the presence of God. And I felt it so strong this afternoon. I felt it strong again. I was in the office right before service. I felt it strong again when we was in the auditorium. It's so easy to praise God in your strength.
It's so easy to praise God because everything's going good. Yeah, uh-huh. It's so easy to praise God. Man, I'm fit. I can run the aisles 5 times in one night. I can't run it once. Okay? But perfected praise is praise that says, I can't do anything save you give me the strength to do it. I can't walk unless you're holding me up. As the psalmist said, thou hast beset me in front and in back. He said in another place that your angels encamp round about me. Yeah. Another place he said, and he will lift me up into his pavilion, and then shall I be safe from my enemies all around me. Oh, I can't handle this on my own. It's yielded praise. It's yielded praise. And I close with this. She's a little 14-year-old girl. My wife and I were privileged to help lead their youth group in San Diego for a touch over a year. We left, I think it was 6 or 8 months later. We got the call. Little Brianna, 14-year-old girl. They'd rushed her to the hospital. One night, she's spending the night with the pastor's daughter. We're good friends, little 13, 14-year-old girls. And she was having so much trouble breathing, they took her to the emergency room. And she had a massive tumor somewhere right there in her chest, was closing off her bronchial tubes. Couldn't breathe. So advanced was the cancer. And so massive the tumor. That they couldn't give her anesthetic to put her to sleep. They were afraid they'd lose her. They'd never be able to bring her back out. And so with some local anesthetic, and they had to go all the way to the bone marrow for this rare type of cancer that you're not even supposed to get beyond infancy. Infants that are just very little babies generally are the only ones that are susceptible to this type of cancer. So rare for them to even get it then. And here she is, a 14-year-old, so advanced was this cancer. And they've got her laying on the operating table. And she's in a lot of pain. And they begin the incision without anesthetic. And the pastor's wife was in there with her. And pain began to fill her face. And hot tears began to run down her cheeks. And she began to sing, praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. And she began to sing the song all the way through. And the nurses that were in there began to cry, trying to do their job. And the pastor's wife began to pray. And she began to pat the nurses and say, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. How can you lay there and say you're going to be okay? Can't you feel what's going on with you? Don't you know what you're facing right now? It doesn't matter. And if you talk to her today, and I talked to her about 4 months ago, that beautiful, long, uncut Pentecostal hair that she'd taken care of for years, that radiation and chemotherapy has turned into nothing. And she's skin and bone. But you look at her and she'll beam with that big old smile. And she'll get up as a praise singer and lift her hands. And with the same intensity and fervor and affection for God, she'll begin to praise and worship Him. Because it doesn't matter if I'm on the operating table facing death, and it doesn't matter if I'm standing on the platform or in the altar in the presence of Almighty God and in the presence of the body of Christ, I'm going to praise Him and I'm going to magnify Him with everything I've got, and the situation just doesn't matter. And out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, if I live, It's going to be because you say I live. And if I make it, it's going to be because you say I make it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if I'm blessed, it's because you bless me. And if I go through difficulty, it's because you have confidence in me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if I live to be 1,000 years old, or if I live another 10 minutes, it's because you give me life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if I get to raise children, and if I get to glorify your name one more time in the house of God, it's because you gave me the opportunity and you opened the door. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think we need to love him one more time all over this house. Let's lift up our voice and let's love him. Come on, let's love him. I'm done. Let's love him. I love you, Jesus. If you need to go, go ahead. I want those of you that are willing to get into a place of praise and worship. Yeah, I want those of you that know how to love God. I want those of you that know how to pour your spirit out like a vessel before Almighty God. I magnify you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come on. Come on. That's it. As you feel the Holy Ghost begin to lead you, why don't you begin to minister one to another in the name of Jesus? Come on. Let's love him tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. That's it, mama. Come on, daddy. That's it. Come on, young person. Come on, young man. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost get on you tonight in your praise and in your worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, let's lift our hands all over this place. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, just begin to magnify God. Just begin to love him. Just begin to magnify him. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus. Come on, somebody love him. Come on, somebody love him. Somebody that's tired, somebody that's weary, somebody that's fighting, somebody that's in a difficulty, somebody that doesn't know how you're going to make it. Just love him. Just magnify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To that place, Lord, to that secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Wrap me in your arms.
Oh, yeah.
Wrap me in your arms, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Take me to that place.
Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah. Some of you are facing some things that you know you can't handle.
Yeah, make
some of you need to cry out to God. You can't afford to walk out of these doors without having magnified him the way you can do it and the way only you can do it. Yeah. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, yield to him. Yield to him. Let it be yielded praise. 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 Yeah.
You can make me like you.
God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the month, but I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I don't know how I'm going to take care of this problem, but you know all
wrap
things.
Me in your arms, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Me
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To that secret place.
Oh, yes.
I can be with you.
Shotoko Tarabaya.
You can make me like you.
Hallelujah.
Wrap me
hallelujah.
In your arms.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wrap me in your arms.
Yeah, come on, let's push in for just a minute.
Wrap me in your arms.
Somebody's answer's here tonight. Let's push in for just a minute. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Minutes. Go ahead and push into that. You got time for this. You got time for this.
Oh, I'm safe in your
arms. Oh, there's nothing more important on the face of the earth than you getting in touch with God right here tonight. If you need to go tonight, you're free to go. But I encourage you to hang out for a little while and just let God love on you. Just let Him wrap you in His arms of love.
Take me to that place.
Let Him be intimate with you tonight. Let Him be a personal Savior and a personal God to you. But if you need to go, Lord bless, we're going to have another revival service Sunday.
Place where I can be with you. me in your arms, Lord. Oh, 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 I'm safe in your arms, oh, oh.
To the place.